Hi, welcome to First Press Church Podcast. At the end of this message, please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast channel or our YouTube channel for the latest Sunday messages. We're so glad to have you be a part of our worship from afar. It is our prayer that this message will ignite a fire in your spirit for a closer walk with God.
Well, good morning. Good morning. We are, as you just saw, we're walking with Jesus. So we're starting a new sermon series this week. Next 5 weeks, we're going to be walking with Jesus through Matthew chapter 9. We're just going to stay right in that chapter. Jesus moves around a lot in that chapter. He walks from story to story, so we're going to walk with him and see what the Lord has for us. On your way out this morning, there's a little keychain with a flip-flop on it for you. Take one of those, and maybe you already got them, to remind you that we are walking with Jesus this summer. So you're welcome. I already have my key on mine, so I'm good. I'm doing it with you. So Matthew 9. So open our Bibles, turn on our Bibles. Let me pray for us as we open the scriptures to hear the word of the Lord. Jesus, thank you for your word, which comes forth in power, which like a seed plants itself deep in our hearts and grows something new. And we pray for open hearts, open ears, soft soil in our hearts, that we might hear from you and that you might grow something beautiful in our lives today. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 9, beginning with verse 1. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." Then the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to man. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So chapter 9 opens with a story of a paralyzed man, and it seems almost ironic that we begin our series walking with Jesus with a man who literally cannot walk or move or do anything for himself. Matthew tells us he is paralyzed and he lies on a mat. Jesus encounters him because some people pick him up and carry him to Jesus. Now, by the end of the story, of course, the man walks and heads home. But this is not just a story, friends, about physical mobility. This is a story about spiritual freedom. It's about forgiveness. And it's about need. This is a story that helps us understand our own needs. In our text today, we see a man in need of physical healing, but Jesus sees that something else is needed first. You see, sometimes we think we know what we need, but what we really need is something else. Our passage opens with Jesus stepping into a boat and sailing from Gentile territory to his hometown in Capernaum. It's about a 5-mile boat ride, perhaps just enough time for Jesus to catch his breath, to feel the sun on his face, to take a rest before he gets to his hometown. I'll let you explore the story that comes right before this. It's about demons and floating pigs. And if you're a teenage boy, you will love this story. But I think you will understand why Jesus just needs a moment to breathe before he gets home. So let me ask you this. When was the last time you had a moment to breathe, to sit and be still, and to rest deeply, to feel the sun on your face and just be? Because if we're going to walk with Jesus this summer or take a boat ride, let me tell you that you will find very quickly that his pace is quite different from our pace. He moves slowly. He's never in a hurry. And he always has enough time. Sometimes We think that we need God to do something really big in our lives. But what if Jesus' invitation today is simply to step into the boat and be with him, or take a walk or a hike, to find a slower movement through the summer, a breathing and resting with him and feeling the sun on your face and trusting his pace and his path in your life? Maybe that's the invitation today. So upon arriving in Capernaum, we're told that some men brought to Jesus a paralyzed man lying on a mat. So far, this is a very familiar pattern in the Gospel of Matthew. In chapter 4, we read that as Jesus goes around teaching and preaching, news about him spread, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. We know that large crowds have gathered around Jesus wherever he goes. They follow him. So up to this point in the story, there is nothing new yet. But here is where we get a little bit of a different take. We get an up-close and personal look at this healing process. We read, when Jesus saw their faith, and we assume it's the faith of the people bringing him, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." Your sins are forgiven. Now we look at this man and see a broken body in need of mending. Jesus looks at this man and sees a soul in need of repair, someone in need of forgiveness. And really, what could this man possibly need forgiveness for? I mean, he's lying still on a mat. For goodness sake, he can't even move without the help of other people. It's a fair question, I think. What is going on here? Well, Jesus has just finished giving the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5-7. And in that sermon, he reinterprets the commandments of the faith to not be just about our actions, but also about matters of the heart. He speaks of anger, unforgiveness, lust, swearing, lying. All those things live deep within the human heart. And without God's forgiveness, sin will paralyze us from the inside out. So we see a paralyzed body. Jesus sees a paralyzed soul. One theologian writes that Jesus reaches down beneath the man's paralysis to his guilt underneath there, and removing that cures him at his roots. Sometimes, friends, what we think we need and what we really need are two very different things. Since we're right now in graduation season and celebrating all of our graduating seniors, are there any in the room today that we need to cheer for? Any room? See, in the other service, I had to explain when I said, are there any seniors here? And like half the room lifted their hand. I said, no, graduating seniors. So we're excited for our graduating seniors, and many of them are thinking about heading to college in the fall, maybe starting a new job, hopping into maybe a much-awaited gap year. You know, lots of fun things in store for those who've just graduated. But in my senior year of high school, I had decided that there was one college that I really wanted to go to, and I had my heart set on that college. I thought if I can just get in there, my life will go great. It's the path that I want to take. You know what I'm going to say, right? I didn't get in. And I was heartbroken at the time, and I had to step back and kind of reevaluate my expectations and make a different decision and head to a different school that fall. And it was exactly where I needed to be, and God knew that. I didn't know, but God knew. And in those 4 years of my college experience, my relationship with Jesus really grew, and I had experience of Christian community and Christian friendship that was so rich and deep. And as I look back now, I'm so grateful for the path that Jesus opened up that was really different than the path that I thought that I needed. Sometimes what we think we need is not what we really need. Maybe you have a story like that. Maybe you're in the middle of something like that right now, wondering, what is it that I really need? Well, here's some things I've heard people say they need. And these are just examples. I'm sure none of them apply to you, ever. They certainly aren't anything I've ever wanted or needed. A bigger house, a better car, a new kitchen. Oh, that's definitely not me. A significant other, more time, sanity, a husband who knows how to fix a toilet. Adam, I'm not thinking of you at all, wherever you are, but it would be nice. A cell phone, a TikTok account, more money, a better job, the Denver Nuggets to beat Miami. So far, so good. Peace, sleep, a puppy, a waterfall in my backyard. No? Is that just me? No one else? Okay. Better grades, a better school. But hear me on this. As we get deeper into our hearts and our souls, it gets pretty tender pretty quickly. I need healing from sickness or trauma to receive the approval of my parents, deeper friendships, to just like myself, to get a hold of my addiction, anxiety, or despair, a loved one made well, a restored relationship with my kids, a different body, a different life, not to depend on others so much. Just a do-over. God, I just need a do-over. And I'll let you fill in whatever else comes to mind. And hear me, friends, Jesus receives all of those things. He receives all of our needs and our wants. We're told that the men brought the paralyzed man and set him before Jesus with his longings and his brokenness and his aches and his dashed hopes. They brought him mat and all and laid him before Jesus. Sometimes what we think we need is not really what we need, but we don't know how to sort it all out. That's okay. Jesus knows. And he knows exactly what we need. In our story today, somehow this man's friends knew what he needed. I mean, maybe not exactly, but they knew that he needed to be in the presence of Jesus. That's a pretty special group of people that would lift this man and bring him to Jesus. So let's talk about them for a minute. What do we know about these guys? The Greek text simply reads, "They brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat." So who is this they? Who are these people? And this is where this morning we get to play a little game called I Don't Know, okay? Sometimes when we come to scripture, it's okay to say the words, I don't know, I don't know. And so just say that with me, I don't know. It's great, you got it. So here's how the game goes. I'm gonna ask you a question and you're simply gonna say, I don't know. So who are these people? I don't know. How many are there? I don't know. Are they friends of the man? I don't know. What do they want Jesus to do? You know, they don't say anything, so we can speculate, but we don't know. So let's change tactics here, because that's not going so well. What do we know? We know they had faith. Anything else? Nope. The text says Jesus saw their faith. They had faith. And somehow, that faith compels them to bring a man who cannot move to Jesus. Okay, a quick sidetrack here. If you know this story in the Gospel of Mark, you know that Mark tells us so much more about these people and about this story. And sometimes it's okay to look at, it's always okay to look at the stories in the different Gospels and kind of compare and contrast to learn things. But what Matthew begins telling us in two verses about what's going on, Mark expands and gives us five verses. Actually, it's the other way around because Mark is the earlier writer. So Mark has set this story up with five verses and Matthew has taken that story and stripped it down to two verses, which I find really interesting. Mark tells us that the home where Jesus is preaching is so full of people that nobody can get through the front door. And so these four men, and Mark tells us it's four, he gives us the number, take the man up to the roof. They tear apart the roof and they lower the man down to Jesus. Now, on seeing the crowd around this house, the men could have decided, this is no use, it's not going to work. They could have packed up and gone home. But what we learn in Mark is that their faith compels them to not just bring this man to Jesus, but to go up on a roof, pull it apart, and get this man to Jesus. That's what faith, that's what their faith looks like in the Gospel of Mark. But Matthew doesn't tell us this part of the story. And I'm like, this is the coolest part of the story. Matthew, I mean, there's four men busting through barriers, doing what it takes, tearing apart a roof to get their paralyzed buddy to Jesus. Why doesn't Matthew tell us this part? I know, I don't know either. Maybe, just maybe, it's because Mark's story is already out there, and so people know the whole story. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe because Matthew is more interested in telling us what Jesus does and really focusing on that as opposed to what the men do. Maybe. Maybe Matthew has a different purpose for his story, and he wants to get rid of all the surrounding details and get us quickly to the heart of the matter. And what is the heart of the matter? That Jesus knows what we really need. And he has the authority to give it to us. Jesus tells us right in verse 6 what the main heart of the matter is. He says, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Jesus has the authority to reach in and forgive us at the very deepest part of ourselves. Now, in their own way, this little company of friends had faith that getting this man to Jesus was what he needed that day. We don't know what they were thinking. They don't say anything. But Jesus offers forgiveness. And by their faith, they allow Jesus to fully do what he needs to do with this friend. But Matthew does tell us there's another group of people in the room. And they are thinking very loud thoughts. They're thinking very loudly. This is a group of teachers of the law thinking to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming, which basically means that somebody in this room is claiming to be God who is clearly not God. Someone is saying things that only God can say. To them, Jesus is clearly not God. He's not from God. And he has no authority to forgive anyone. He is a fake. And blasphemy is a serious offense. But these men also are seriously wrong about Jesus. And Jesus addresses their thoughts. Maybe, just maybe, if they had spent some time walking with Jesus, they would get this all sorted out. I don't know. I'm going to show you a picture of an ant called a Matabele ant. And these ants live in sub-Saharan Africa, and they're often called paramedic ants. They're the first non-human species observed by scientists to carry their wounded home from battle and literally nurse them back to health. They raid termite colonies for food, and in that raid, many of the ants get hurt. They lose a leg or two. And when the attack is over, the wounded ants send a signal of distress, and when they are found by their fellow ants, they tuck their remaining legs in so that they can be carried back to the nest. The ants carry their wounded home. But that's not all. Once they're back at the nest, the healthy ants take turns holding the injured legs of the wounded ants while others lick those wounds until they're healed. Their nest becomes a hospital of healing. Who knew ants could be so cool, right? But the flourishing of the ant colony is literally carried by the whole community of ants. Writer Andy Crouch, in his book Strong and Weak, writes that flourishing is never the property of an individual. Flourishing is never the property of an individual. It is the property of a community. Our health does not simply belong to us, to me, to you. We thrive when we are both vulnerable and strong together. Sometimes we are part of the crew that's carrying somebody to Jesus. Sometimes we are the one who needs to be carried to Jesus. The church is a community of Christ followers bringing each other before Jesus, trusting that he alone is the source of life and health and peace. Sometimes what we think we need and what we really need are two different things. But with the help of our community, we do what it takes to bring each other into the presence of Christ. The gospel writer Mark indicates that it takes four men to bring a paralyzed man to Jesus. So I ask you, who are your four? Who are the four in your life who would pick you up at a moment's notice, no matter what kind of state you're in, and bring you to Jesus with a faith that Jesus has you? And not giving a lot of instruction or direction to Jesus on what to do with you, but simply laying you before the Lord because, Lord, we have no idea what she needs, but we know that you do. Who are your four? And I might encourage you to look around this room because I think anyone in this room today would be willing to be part of your four. Who are your four? So let me close with this. Maybe the final miracle in this passage is that nobody says a word except Jesus. His word is enough. You know, it's a discipline to not talk or explain or give direction to God. It's a discipline to be quiet before Jesus, to be open and listening. These men in our story show us that it's possible. They don't say a word. And it seems to be a sign of faith. I might call it the spiritual practice of shutting up. But we don't use that language in our house. So let's simply call it the spiritual practice of listening to Jesus. I'm going to invite us today to be quiet before Jesus just for a moment, maybe 30 seconds. To just be quiet, to bring yourself to the Lord, here I am, and just ask Jesus, do you have something you want to say to me today? Do you have a word for me? And then to just listen and see what Jesus has to say. You can close your eyes or just be present for Jesus. Sometimes what we think we need and what we really need are two different things. Maybe today you just need an experience of Jesus at this table, feasting and eating and resting and receiving from him forgiveness and love and mercy. So eat with joy, friends, today. Walk with Jesus. God's got you. Jesus sees you, and he knows exactly what you need. Jesus, thank you that you are here with us in this room, that you have promised to never leave us or forsake us. Thank you that you see us. You see beneath the exterior to our hearts. You know exactly where we are and exactly what we need. Lord, we thank you for your presence in our lives. Feed us today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, we want to thank you for listening to this message. And if you live in the Colorado Springs area, we'd love to have you here on Sunday mornings. To find us online, just search First Pres Colorado Springs.